They're down at 4 for the Panthers at the 30 of Lakeside. Garmin on a little counter play, breaks into the open field again, down the sideline at the 10 to the 5, stays in and goes in for the touchdown. Another touchdown, this time 30 yards out for Tristan Garmin. Pike Valley leads 48-24 with 7:40 to play.
Monday Night Football from last night, high school football style, and I'm thinking Lakeside might have just wished they would have finished the game last week because it was going a lot better for Lakeside last week. But last night was all Pike Valley. Lakeside led 24-22 when they stopped the game on Friday due to the weather, and the game was at halftime. And then Pike Valley outscores Lakeside last night in the second half, 40-6 in resumption of that game. And Pike Valley wins in down 62-30, 473 yards of offense for Pike Valley, 444 on the ground. Kane Johnson, a big game, 25 carries, 217 yards, and 3 touchdowns. And Tristan Garmin, as you just heard there, 10 carries, 200 yards, 5 touchdowns at a 66-yard kickoff return for a score on Friday. And Lakeside, Caleb Hake leaned away, throwing for 257 yards, a couple of touchdowns. Lakeside had 292 yards of offense. Chase Schoen, 6 catches for 96 yards and a touchdown reception. Both teams had 5 turnovers in the game. Pike Valley now 3-3 overall, 3-1 in district play. Lakeside 2-4 overall, 2-3 in district, as Pike Valley wins last night 62-30. Looking ahead to our broadcast schedule for this week, we'll have high school football locker room chats on Wednesday and Thursday at 5:15. We'll talk to the area coaches of Beloit, Osborne, Smith Center, Lincoln, and Thunder Ridge on Wednesday, and Thursday, St. John's, Tipton, Lakeside, Rock Hills, and Sylvan Lucas. Coming up Friday, it's a big night of high school football. It'll be the Football Express at 5:40, brought to you by Cunningham Telephone and Cable. Pregame at 6:30, kickoff at 7. Huge game in Beloit. Concordia at Beloit. That has playoff implications, and, of course, a rivalry on top of all that. Pregame 6:30, kickoff at 7 on KD Country 94, kdcountry94.com. Live video stream at ncksports.com via the Beloit Trojan channel. Another big game, Lakeside at St. John's Tipton. That'll be on Z96.3 The Lake coming up on Friday. And then our coverage will conclude with the local high school scoreboard show brought to you by State Farm Insurance at 10:05. And I'm going to see here. I don't think there was any results. I don't know if that's correct or not, so I will not go over that right now. In regards to a local sports schedule, not clear to me. So we'll move on to Major League Baseball playoffs, where the Houston Astros have punched their ticket to the ALCS.
Cabrera grounds it right side. Gurriel has it. He underhands to Harris at first, and that is the ball game. The Houston Astros advance to the American League Championship Series. They defeat the Indians 11-3 and win the series 3-0.
So the Astros sweep the Indians. Look pretty good in doing that. How about the Dodgers in the National League?
3-2, 2-out, bottom of the ninth. Jansen to Freeman. Swung on and missed, strike 3. The Dodgers beat the Braves 6-2, and for the third consecutive season, the Dodgers are going to the National League Championship Series.
So, the two teams that were in the World Series a year ago, the Astros, the Dodgers. Astros beat the Dodgers in 7 games. They're still alive, could have a repeat in the World Series this year. Dodgers will face the Brewers in the NLCS. The ALCS will be the Astros versus either the Red Sox or the Yankees. Red Sox take one big step towards punching their ticket to the Final Four.
And he swings and rips one deep to right down the line toward the corner, hooking, and it's a home run. A 2-run homer for the Bronx Star. And he has hit for the cycle for the second time in his career. A single in the fourth, a triple in the fifth, a double in the eighth, and now a first pitch home run in the ninth, and the Red Sox lead at 16-1.
That would be your final, 16-1 in favor of the Red Sox, worst postseason defeat in Yankee history. The Yankees played in a lot of playoff games over the years. Red Sox at Yankees, CC Sabathia versus Rick Porcello. That's the matchup tonight, 7:07, game 4 in the Bronx. Red Sox a chance to close it out. If they don't, they will be a game 5 in Boston. So that would take place on Thursday if there was a game 5. And both teams would announce their starters. Chris Sale will go for Boston game 5. You could be assured of that. Red Sox, Yankees. Red Sox up 2-1 in the ALDS. The Brewers already punched their ticket, sweeping the Rockies earlier this week. And the Dodgers, as we mentioned, with a win 6-2 over the Braves, won 3-1. And the Astros sweep the Indians with an 11-3 victory yesterday. Volleyball schedule for today. Beloit will be at the El Saline Triangular along with Sacred Heart and El Saline. Thunder Ridge will host a Triangular with Tescott and St. John's Tipton. Southern Cloud will host a Triangular with Lakeside and Sylvan Lucas. Osborne will be hosting a Triangular along with Chase and Rock Hills. Lincoln hosting theirs with Pike Valley and Wilson. And Smith Center has a Triangular up in Smith Center with Phillipsburg and Great Bend. All of those schedules and more are available to you at ncksports.com. Things got so bad last night in the Red Sox-Yankee game that the Yankees used a position player to finish out the game, and that's when Brock Holt hit his home run to complete the cycle. And so that's how bad it got. Romine, the catcher for the Yankees, Austin Romine, became only the second position player to take the mound in a postseason game, finishing up the blowout for the Yankees by giving up two runs on one hit and a walk in one inning of work. Romine followed in the footsteps of Cliff Pennington, who in Game 4 of the 2015 ALCS got the last out of the top of the ninth inning, if you remember, in the Blue Jays' 14-2 loss to the Royals in Toronto. So, hey, the Royals are back in the news again. Everything comes back to the Royals. Red Sox crushed the Yankees last night. I told my wife the Red Sox will score one or zero runs tonight. Used them all up. It happens all the time.
Used them all up.
You score a ton of runs, and the next night you can't hit the line for a double. It's foul.
Right.
And the Yankees start to – those hard-hit balls start to drop. It's usually called karma. And if I'm a Red Sox fan, I'm sitting there going, no. Save them. Save them for today. CC Sabathia, the old veteran, on the hill to try to keep the Yankees season alive. Monday Night Football last night, man, pretty exciting stuff. Drew Brees – sets a record.
From the 38 in New Orleans, moving right to left in the gun, Brees. First down and 10, shotgun snap, drops back, looks long, far side. He's got a wide open receiver. It's caught at the 35, breaking the tackle, 30 from the 20 down the sideline, the 10, the 5, and it's a touchdown for Tre'Quan Smith. Over the shoulder catch, 62 yards, and the record. Brees has done it.
Drew Brees with the most passing yards in NFL history. Not bad for a guy that was considered maybe too short to play in the league. Drew Brees on the record.
Didn't know it was going to happen on the first play to Tre'Quan, but I don't think it could have happened in any better fashion than it did. And to have then that moment with my teammates on the field, the offensive line, it played out even greater than I ever could have imagined.
Brees has 499 career touchdowns, and only three quarterbacks in NFL history have 500 or more touchdown passes. Peyton Manning with the record right now at 539. And then there is Brett Favre, and he's at 508. Tom Brady, who just had his 500th recently. And then there's Drew Brees at 499. So, Peyton, you're going to have another record that's going to fall. And it's going to be the touchdown pass record, and it's going to either be Brady or Brees unless they get hurt. Drew Brees' career was basically, it looked like maybe over. He had a horrible shoulder injury late in week 17 of a season back in the early 2000s for the Chargers. They drafted Phillip Rivers. Rivers was the heir apparent. They decided to go with Rivers because they had questions about the shoulder with Brees. Brees was nearly traded to the Miami Dolphins, but there was concerns about Drew Brees' shoulder. At the time, the head coach of the Dolphins was Nick Saban. Dante Culpepper was signed instead. That didn't work out. Drew Brees then went to New Orleans. The Saints took a chance on Brees. And what do you know? 12, 13, 14 years later, Drew Brees, the all-time passing yardage leader. And you wonder what would have happened had the Dolphins been okay with Drew Brees' shoulder. Because if Drew Brees goes to Miami, dare I say the Dolphins are better with him than Dante Culpepper. And Nick Saban doesn't go back to college, doesn't go to Alabama, and college football landscape is completely different if Saban stays in Miami with the Dolphins. Also, does Brees get the all-time passing yardage record in Miami? Maybe, maybe not. I don't think so. I think this is the perfect match for him with Sean Payton in New Orleans. But you want to go one step further with this what if. Interesting story yesterday that I read online that in the 2017 draft, the Buffalo Bills were picking 10th. The Kansas City Chiefs were picking 27th. The New Orleans Saints had the 11th pick in the draft. And they were high on Marshawn Lattimore, a very talented defensive back. And they thought that Patrick Mahomes and Watson, all these quarterbacks, would be gone by their 11th pick. So number 9 pick was a surprise, a wide receiver, went off the board. So it came to the 10th pick. And the Saints are sitting here, and Drew Brees had his friends with Jordan Spieth and other golfers, and they were actually called into the war room, the draft room for the Saints. And Sean Payton wanted to talk with Drew Brees and said, listen, we might have a chance to get Patrick Mahomes here at number 11. We really like Lattimore, but if Mahomes is there, we really, really like him. What do you think about Mahomes? Because Drew Brees, of course, is the face of New Orleans in that franchise. And it sounds like, reading the story, that the Saints were okay with Patrick Mahomes and Drew Brees was okay with it. And what happened? So the Saints are sitting there deciding whether it's going to be Lattimore or Mahomes at 11, waiting on the Bills and what they're going to do at number 10. Sounds like they were leaning towards taking Mahomes at number 11 to have their future quarterback, because Drew Brees, of course, is getting up there in age. And what happens? The Chiefs move up 17 spots, trade with the Bills, and grab Patrick Mahomes. So then the Saints, this dilemma of who they were going to take, because they like both a lot, they decided, well, that's simple. We'll take Lattimore. Patrick Mahomes could have been with the New Orleans Saints. And had he been with the New Orleans Saints, Drew Brees, an aging quarterback who was a free agent at the end of last year, this last season, Mahomes would have been an understudy for a year. Would the Saints have gone with Patrick Mahomes and let Drew Brees walk? Because Drew Brees was a two-year, $50 million deal they signed him in the offseason to stay with the Saints. Now, he's the face of the franchise. They love him in New Orleans. I don't know if they would have gone with Mahomes, or if Mahomes would have sat on the bench for 2 years or 3 years. I have no idea. But Patrick Mahomes would have done very well in that Saints offense. So if the Chiefs, and we've heard so many at the talk of the draft, was the Chiefs trade up 17 picks, Stephen A. Smith and others, what are they thinking? Tape doesn't matter. Deshaun Watson should have been the guy they would want. And why would you go up 17 picks to get Patrick Mahomes? Because others like Mahomes too, and the Chiefs knew that. And so the Chiefs grabbed the guy they wanted, and now it's worked out perfectly. Now let's go one step further. If the Chiefs did not trade up to get Patrick Mahomes, and the Saints got Patrick Mahomes at number 11, where would have Drew Brees gone? Would he have stayed in New Orleans and Mahomes been understudy? Or would Mahomes taken the job and they let Brees walk? Who knows? But I will say this. If the Chiefs didn't trade up for Mahomes and the Saints took him at number 11, Alex Smith would be your quarterback of the Chiefs today.
Oh, yeah.
And last night, it was Alex Smith versus Drew Brees, and Alex Smith did not look good. 23 of 39, 275. Stats are misleading. A lot of that late. He threw an interception. He had what was a bad interception, by the way. He had a fumble. He was being pressured, and he didn't play very well. Drew Brees, 26 of 29, 363 yards, and the 62-yard touchdown pass that broke the record, and a quarterback rating of 153.2.
Not bad.
Safe to say Brees outplayed him last night. The game was in New Orleans. Brees does have more weapons than fairness, Alex Smith. But I'm just sitting here watching this game, and Booger McFarland said at one point when Alex Smith didn't feel the pressure and got sacked and fumbled and he threw a pick where he had the guy wide open, he waited a little long, then threw it, and it was a horrible pick, almost returned for six. Booger goes, maybe that's why the Chiefs went with Patrick Mahomes. I was like, yeah, because Mahomes would have just went ahead and threw a rifle pass, and it would have been a laser and been on the money. Yeah. And the drive would have been extended. So I am so thankful. I am so thankful to John Dorsey and the Kansas City Chiefs organization for moving up 17 picks to draft Patrick Mahomes. I liked the move when they did it, but I was a little bit skeptical because I knew Mahomes could be a bit of a project. But I love the fact they had the guts to finally go get their young quarterback. They did, and it looks like a tremendous move right now through the first five games of this season. But, man, the Saints were ready possibly to take him at number 11. And how about the Bills kicking themselves right now? Like, man, we could have Patrick Mahomes. We didn't have our future quarterback really in-house.
No.
We had Tyrod Taylor, and they decided to trade out, and the Chiefs got their man. So all those people that were ripping the Chiefs, oh, that's just too much. It's never too much to go up and get a guy that you really, truly believe in. And Andy Reid truly believed in this. And here's another thing. John Dorsey caught a whole bunch of heat in Kansas City at the end and got fired. John Dorsey drafted, let the record show, John Dorsey was a general manager who drafted Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City and Baker Mayfield in Cleveland. And I do believe these two quarterbacks are going to be the future in the face of the National Football League for many years to come. And to add on to this, all these folks out there that want to rag on the NFL because they're they're saying, well, the NFL, they allow players to kneel during the anthem, and the NFL has doing this and doing that, and they put a skirt on the quarterback because the quarterbacks aren't allowed to be hit. All this big, tough talk from people, which I've always bought as a bunch of hubbub and hooey, because maybe you don't watch it, but you're probably very, very few people. You're a minority in regards to, well, I swear off the NFL because I don't like the fact that they allow players to protest, and I don't like this because the quarterback isn't allowed to be hit. Do you know, and you don't see any of this on social media for the people that want to rip the National Football League now because the narrative doesn't fit their agenda? Do you know the NFL ratings are up across the board this year from last year? But all the talk last year and the ratings went down. Oh, the NFL's losing it. Well, they're not handling things. They're letting their players protest, and people are turning on them, and NFL doesn't know how to handle this. NFL doesn't know how to handle that, which is true. They didn't handle everything very well. I agree with that. But that's not going to keep people from watching football. If you have stars, you're going to watch the stars play. And CBS executive was on record yesterday on a talk show saying that Baker Mayfield and Patrick Mahomes, those two, there's direct correlation to the ratings for them, and that you will see more Browns and Chiefs games becoming more and more primetime games down the line in the future years if they stay healthy. They are the new quarterbacks. They're the new wave. You had Brady, Roethlisberger, Rodgers, and Rodgers getting up there a little bit too, and he's injury prone. Those guys are slowing down. Well, Brady doesn't seem to be slowing down. Breeze is older. He said in a story last night after the game that he may retire sooner than people expect him to. The new wave, the new face of the National Football is Patrick Mahomes and Baker Mayfield, along with others. And so I don't see all my social media blowing up. Well, the NFL's falling apart. Nobody's saying anything right now about that. Why? Why aren't they mentioning the ratings? Because it doesn't fit their agenda. The ratings are up for the National Football League. It's about the players. It's not about the protest. It's not about the rule changes, okay? If you love football and you enjoy football, you will put up with somebody kneeling during the anthem. You will put up with the quarterback. There's a rule that doesn't allow the quarterback to be landed on, and there's a penalty. And you won't like it. You'll scream bloody murder, but guess what? You'll keep watching. And you can sit here and you can talk to me one-on-one. Well, wait, I don't watch football. I haven't watched football. Well, let me sit down with you for a week in a row, and I want to see, hiding behind the corner, and let me watch your television. And you honestly can tell yourself, and God and everybody else, that you haven't watched football. Maybe you haven't, but many people that say they haven't are full of baloney, because they do. Maybe not as much as they once did, but they do. I had somebody, he may be listening right now, says he didn't watch the NFL anymore, or he's not interested in the NFL anymore, and then he sent me a text saying something about Patrick Mahomes. I'm like, I thought you didn't watch the NFL anymore. Well, I watch Mahomes and Baker. Well, that's the National Football League. They play in the league, man. That means you're watching NFL football. They're both employed by the National Football League. Okay? Simple as that. So the ratings are actually up. Whether you like it or not, they're up. It's about star power. This all goes by the wayside eventually. Things wear out. The stories, the narratives with the whole anthem, which, by the way, it's not an anthem protest. You can argue with me all you want. It's not an anthem protest. People have labeled it that. It's players. They are protesting the injustices, racial inequality, and social injustice of our country. I'll say this once again for a thousandth or millionth time. I don't agree with the platform and this, and when people do this during the national anthem. I think it's the wrong place to time to do it. Having said that, they have the freedom to do that. But if you're going to sit here and tell me that's what's going to kill the National Football League, you're dead wrong. It's not. Hasn't killed it yet, and the ratings are up from last year. And yet there's anymore. A player that just knelt, Eric Reed again, who got signed by the Panthers, knelt again before the game, okay? And guess what? Ratings were up this week, and they'll be up next week because it's about star power, man. It's about star power. All the stars get hurt, ratings will go down. Have nothing to do with the anthem.
Yeah, no, and those original guys that you're talking about are the only ones that are doing it anymore. Like, yes. People aren't even really doing it anymore.
Or there's some that might be doing it. Yeah. We're not seeing the TV's getting bored with the story.
Yeah,
some people.
Exactly, and that's part of that, too. And, yeah, it's a non-issue for most of the teams in the NFL right now.
Yeah.
And you know, and it was a non-issue for most of the teams in the NFL anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But
I'll disagree to a point. It's still an issue because Colin Kaepernick's not employed.
Well, yeah, but what I'm saying is for the actual separate teams in the NFL, like the Chiefs, Marcus Peters isn't there, and I don't think the Chiefs have anybody doing it right now.
Yeah, not everybody had somebody kneeling as well.
There was about 2 or 3 weeks there where it was everybody.
Right. Yep.
But it's not an issue for most places in the National Football League anymore.
Right.
But I agree. I mean, it's an issue still because Colin Kaepernick doesn't have a job. It's an issue in Carolina because Eric Reed's there now.
And now Carolina, their fans are upset about it.
And so it's an issue.
Are they going to stop watching and stop supporting the Panthers because of it? I'm going to say more than likely most
probably
will not.
Yeah.
But they'll talk a good game, which you have the right to do, just like you have the right to kneel during the anthem. Once again, I don't condone it. I'm not a big fan of it. I don't like to see it during the anthem. But they have the right to do it, whether or not you like that or not. Mm-hmm. They do have a right to do that. And I saw a former military person who is also an athlete, I forgot who it was, post on social media and said, folks, this is not an anthem protest. It never has been an anthem protest. What? Rosa Parks was protesting public transportation? No, it was never about that. You've missed the boat, people. And when a Green Beret tells you not to sit for the anthem, instead kneel, and that will be good enough, which is a former NFL player who's a Green Beret who told Colin Kaepernick, hey, it'd be a little more respectful if you knelt instead of sat. And then Kaepernick did that, and others did that, and that wasn't good enough for some people. Once again, you can make up your own opinion. Everybody's already made up their mind on that whole issue. They're either for or against the players doing this. There's really no in-between for the most part. But I don't agree with the platform, but I'm really tired of hearing about it. I didn't really want to bring it up today, but when you see the NFL ratings are going up compared to last year, and all these people want to tell me the NFL's dying because they don't like the anthem, they call them anthem protests, which they're not, once again. They don't like the protest, would be the better thing to say. Mm-hmm. If you don't like the protest, that's fine. You have the right to that opinion. I respect that opinion. But if you're going to sit here and give me a whole bunch of misinformation about how the NFL is dying because there's players that are kneeling during the anthem, you're wrong. The facts don't bear that out. But when their facts don't help your argument, then you want to ignore the facts and you kick them to the side and you say, well, that's a convenient source. Okay, then believe, you know what? I can never convince you of anything. I guess facts don't matter, because the only facts that matter are the ones that help your argument and your agenda and your narrative. That's how our world has become, and
it's
that's
America
why this country is divided 50-50. That's why this country is divided 50-50. You can't be in the middle, and you can't be objective. You got to be right or left. You got to be against the NFL, or you got to be for the NFL, but you can't be in between. No, that's illegal. All right, AP Top 25 poll is out in college football. And the story, I guess, is that Notre Dame is climbing. Notre Dame is number 5. But here's the quick question before we get Riley Gates on. There are 11 teams that are perfect in college football right now. And trust me, there won't be that many perfect at the end of the year. There might not be any that are undefeated end of the year. Here are your undefeated teams. Alabama, Ohio State, Georgia, Clemson. And those are the 4 teams I have in my college football playoff. Notre Dame, West Virginia, Central Florida, Colorado, NC State, Cincinnati, and South Florida. All right, so Notre Dame is moving up. Clemson hasn't been, like, super impressive. At times they have been. They were impressive over Wake Forest. Alabama gave a lot of points to Arkansas, but they won by a ton. Ohio State's got maybe the best win of all of them at Penn State. Georgia doesn't really have any big-time wins yet. So the question would be, once again, what 4 teams are going to make the playoff? I'll stick with Alabama. I'll stick with Georgia. I'll stick with Ohio State. I think it's going to come down to Clemson versus Notre Dame. And Notre Dame, you look at their schedule, they got to go to Northwestern, but that'll be like a home game.
Mm-hmm.
And they got USC, who's not nearly what they once were at the end of the year. Now, I can easily see Notre Dame tripping up and losing. But if Notre Dame makes this playoff, and I think Clemson could easily lose, and Georgia-Alabama, I would think one of them is going to lose. They might face each other in the SEC title game. I would not be shocked if Ohio State loses, but if they lose to the right team, they could still be in because they beat Penn State at Penn State. They beat TCU in a neutral field, although if TCU continues to lose some games, that won't look as impressive. West Virginia, they go undefeated. West Virginia's probably going to be in the college football playoff if they go undefeated, but I don't think any of us think they will, right? So my question would be if Notre Dame goes undefeated, that's going to pretty much kick out the Big 12. But...
Yeah.
If Notre Dame loses one time, they won't have a conference title game. And if OU rights the ship after firing their defensive coordinator, or Texas runs the table, or OU runs the table as one loss, because West Virginia one loss, probably not getting in my opinion. OU, Texas, brand names versus Notre Dame for a final spot, if it came to that, and OU, Texas play each other, Big 12 title game, the winner of that game, shouldn't they be in over Notre Dame if Notre Dame has one loss?
Yeah, if neither one of them loses again,
right.
Oklahoma or Texas,
right.
And Notre Dame does lose, Notre Dame's in trouble, I think.
Right. A lot of experts
based on those 2 names.
A lot of experts are saying right now Notre Dame is a cinch to be in the playoff because they think they're going to win the rest of their games. My question is, if they lose one, are they completely out of the picture? Some people say, yeah.
Yeah.
Because their schedule's not, and they don't have the conference title.
So. Yeah, and it's obviously everything else that factors into it. But you were reading everything past Notre Dame.
Yeah.
I would actually be more worried about Texas if I was those other schools.
Yes, I agree.
Than West Virginia and anything past that.
I'd be worried about Texas and Oklahoma.
And Oklahoma, too, if Oklahoma wins out and then beats Texas in the Big 12 championship. Right. Can you imagine if Texas would win out and beat Oklahoma again?
They got to be in.
You can't hold them out. With two wins over Oklahoma and your only loss
could,
was...
You could hold them out. You know, four teams undefeated.
Well, yeah, four teams are undefeated.
Right.
But, I mean, in that scenario we're talking about, like if Notre Dame loses,
and
one of those SEC schools is going to lose.
Yes.
They have to. So, you know, it's like, how can you hold them out if they...
Right.
Their only loss was the first week of the season.
To Maryland.
And then they're going to roll the rest of the way and beat Oklahoma twice.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be hard to say no, you're not in.
That means they beat a West Virginia as well. They beat a TCU. It'd be a pretty good resume. Yeah, you're right.
And I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't either. I think Texas is going to lose another game. I think Oklahoma will probably lose another game. I think the 12 is going to take care of itself by imploding and within its own conference. That's what I think. But I hope I'm wrong. I'd like to see Big 12 have representation. But if it's Texas, I don't know.